Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here, former presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party. Today is Monday, May the 15th, and first, a word from our sponsors. You've probably heard of paleo and wondered, is this just another diet trend? Experts at the Paleo Secret say it's actually the perfect anti-diet with no counting calories or depriving yourself. Instead, they're about enjoying the whole delicious and satisfying foods your body was designed to eat the way nature intended. They're going directly against what big pharma and government have said about health, with hundreds of thousands of success stories to back them up. For a limited time, you can get 50% off their famous 30-day challenge risk-free. Visit www.thepaleosecret.com/freedom today and reclaim your health, youth, and energy. It's one of the greatest freedoms you could have. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here. Thank you so much for tuning into the Freedom Report podcast. I'm always grateful for my wonderful audience of hundreds of thousands of people who care about our common cause for limited government. Has Venezuela tried real socialism? Was the USSR real socialism? Is North Korea a perfect example of communism? No, the academics and scholars tell us. That's not real socialism. Real socialism hasn't been tried. Right. It sounds a little fishy to me, and probably to most of the people in our audience. The topic today, obviously, is what's going on down in Venezuela. I feel like it's something that we really need to discuss, because there are people right now who are suffering, who are hurting, who are dying to try and fight for their freedom from socialism. I mean, socialism really is the opposite of freedom. And I say that because the literal definition of socialism is central planning, central control over the means of production, whether the means of production is something like healthcare, or what's another good example? You could say food socialism, for example. You can say, hey, we have terrible food outcomes in this country. The government should control food. What if government controlled food the way they control our public education system? What if you had food districts, like you have school districts, and you can only buy food in certain districts, and some districts would have better food than others, and you had to try and live in a good community where you had access to a good food district? I mean that's essentially what socialism is that it's central planning, central control. Now, it's not, despite the fact that some anarchists might say otherwise, actually socialism is not everything that government does, right? Just like, there's no, for example, if you think about like courts, there's no production line for the distribution of justice, for example. And I know I'm making my ANCAP friends mad, but this is my show, dang it. I can say whatever I like. I get to throw my ideas out there. This is what I believe. But socialism is central planning over central control over the means of production. And that's not to say that we don't want things like private police or private courts to handle arbitration in certain matters and things like that. Of course, we have private police that work at schools. We have private police that work at the front desk at corporations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when it comes to socialism is not anything that the government does, right? Like the socialists will like to laugh and say, oh, well, did you drive on the roads today to get here? Oh, well, then you drove on socialist roads, right? It's like, okay, well, you know, just calm down, socialists, and calm down, anarchists. Today, we're going to talk about an example of real socialism, real life socialism happening today, happening right now. And I found an article from my good buddy Steve Horowitz, who is an Austrian economist, and he writes at the Foundation for Economic Education with the title, "You Can't Deny That Venezuela Is a Socialist Calamity." As Venezuela descends into a nightmare of starvation and violence, the long-standing debate over the feasibility of socialism takes on new relevance. Years of explicitly socialist policies from Chavez and Maduro's regimes have taken their toll as nationalization and a variety of other attempts to abolish or subvert market processes have destroyed what was once one of South America's richest countries. Even with the wealth of their oil reserves, redistribution and price controls have brought production and therefore consumption to a halt. Once they exported grain to the rest of the world, now they can't even feed to their own people. Who's at fault? The humanitarian disaster has raised the question of who or what to blame. That question puts self-proclaimed socialists and their progressive sympathizers in a difficult spot. After all, one can easily find lots of examples, from Michael Moore to Bernie Sanders, of people on the left praising or endorsing Chavez's economic policies. So what can people who took that position say in the face of this disaster? And what can the defenders of free enterprise say as well? Many on the left will start by denying that socialism is at fault. Sometimes they'll deny that the Chavez-Maduro policies were, quote, real socialism. In other cases, they'll argue that while their intentions might have been good, corruption and poor implementation doomed good policies to failure. Both of these arguments have real problems. If those policies were not real socialism, then why did so many sympathetic to socialism express so much support for them and argue that they would be transformative in ways socialists value? Chavez himself made such claims. Do all of them not understand what socialism is? The variety of attempts Chavez made to prevent markets and prices from working and to substitute some form of economic planning in the name of the people have been broadly consistent with socialism since Marx. If that's not socialism, what exactly is meant by that word anymore? We'll answer that after the break. Do you suffer from obesity, digestive issues, joint pain, or feel fatigue throughout the day? How about high blood pressure, high cholesterol, or an autoimmune disease? With hundreds of thousands of success stories, the Paleo Secrets 30-Day Challenge is here to help. The side effects? Boundless energy, improved sleep, effortless weight loss, and even clearer skin. For a limited time, they're giving 50% off the entire transformation, all 5 free bonuses, as well as access to their private Facebook group starting at $13.50, completely risk-free. Try it at www.thepaleosecret.com/freedom today and reclaim your health, youth, and energy. It's one of the greatest freedoms you could have. For many on the left, the answer to the last question is the Scandinavian countries, right? That's what people always point to when they say, what is real socialism? Look at Denmark, look at Sweden, look at Switzerland, look at Germany, or look at France, or the UK with their National Health Service. But the problem is that with the Scandinavian countries, they have, in some measures, they've got actually a freer market than the United States, which the left sees as the archetype of capitalism. At the very least, they are not significantly different from the U.S. in their degree of economic freedom. Historically, socialism has broadly been defined as the elimination of the private ownership of the means of production and the substitution of common or public ownership and economic planning for what Marx called the anarchy of production of the market. Doing away with private ownership, exchange prices, and profits would, in Marx's view, end the alienation, exploitation, and crises that characterized capitalism. In addition, nationalizing production through planning, rather than leaving matters to the trial and error method of the market, would eliminate waste and bring on a burst of productivity that would enrich us all. Abolishing markets does not describe the Scandinavian countries, though it does capture a lot of what was going on in Venezuela. Socialism, at least historically, did not simply mean a large welfare state, as we see in Scandinavia. In fact, the only way countries can afford larger welfare states is to have economies productive enough to produce the wealth that can be taxed away to support such programs. This is why the Scandinavian countries deregulated and lowered tax rates so much in the last decade or two. Only through freer markets could they afford their transfer programs. Let me say this again. Only through freer markets could they afford their wealth transfer programs. If you love the Scandinavian model, you don't love socialism. You love market capitalism because that's what makes that model possible. Whether large welfare states are necessary or desirable is a matter for another column. What of the argument that well-intentioned policies were frustrated by corruption and poor implementation? Well, the problem here is that this seems to happen every time socialism has been tried. The Bolsheviks began to implement Marxist socialism within a year of taking power, and a decade later they had Stalinism. Cuba quickly turned to a dictatorship. China, North Korea, the list goes on. At what point are these not all coincidences? The answer, every single time. And now, economists have long understood the dynamic at work here. Marx and other socialists thought that those in charge of the planning processes, and for Marx that was the whole community, could rationally determine what to produce and how best to produce it in the absence of markets, exchange, and prices. Since Ludwig von Mises' famous essay in 1920, however, we have known that doing so is not possible. Genuine market prices are necessary for people to be able to make determinations of value in anything larger than a household. Without prices, there's no way to know not just what people value, but more importantly, how to make what they value using the least valuable resources possible. In other words, rational production decisions are impossible without market prices. And market prices can't exist without exchange. And therefore, there has to be private ownership, especially of the means of production. But what happens when those given the power to make such decisions realize they cannot achieve their perhaps well-intentioned goals? The power does not go away. More often than not, the first reaction is precisely what we've seen in Venezuela: crack down harder on producers for not living up to impossible demands, and ration goods to punish consumers for hoarding. And when that doesn't work, go to more draconian authoritarianism and do whatever it takes to hold on to power. After a while, these exercises of brute power have consequences. They attract those with a comparative advantage in exercising such power, and perhaps those who have a high consumption value for doing so, into positions of power. Marxism is not Stalinism, but the inability of Marxist socialism to live up to its promises creates the conditions that make Stalinism possible and likely. In other words, Stalinism is an unintended consequence of Marxist socialism. In addition, as state control becomes more clearly ineffective, people start to work around it by establishing distorted forms of market exchange, bribery of politicians and bureaucrats, threats to producers, cronyism, and nepotism all become the ways of getting things done. Scarce resources have to be allocated somehow, and markets are like weeds in that they will grow in the cracks left by the failures of planning. To the outside world, corruption and poor implementation cause socialism to fail. But that gets matters completely backward. Corruption and ineffective political actors are not the cause of socialism's failure, but a result of that failure. When you make real markets illegal, and when your attempts at planning inevitably fail, what you get is the bribery and corruption of black markets. Once again, these are not what Marxism intends, but they are an inevitable, unintended consequence. So what does this say about those who supported the policies of Chavez and Maduro? It's easy to say that they're evil for wishing starvation and destruction on the Venezuelan people, but I think that's too easy. I do believe that many who supported those policies genuinely believed they would have good results. In that sense, they did not act immorally. However, they are guilty of a severe intellectual error that has real moral consequences. Though they may not have intended the humanitarian disaster that we now see, they do bear responsibility for not being aware of the long-standing criticisms of socialism that have given us reasons to expect such a disaster. Our friends on the left who supported Chavez's policies are by and large not guilty of the intentional evil we broadly call vice. What they are guilty of is something more like intellectual negligence. They didn't mean that in the case of Venezuela, but there's no doubt they should have known better. Those of us who understand the power of markets to improve the lives of all of us won't be very effective in persuading others of that truth if we write off those sympathetic to socialism as just evildoers. It's better to engage them gently and intellectually and offer them an alternative narrative than to write them off as irredeemable. Moral condemnation ends productive dialogue. Offering an alternative narrative can start it. The human cost of socialism is too high to not engage those sympathetic to it in the most effective ways possible. And that was written by Stephen Horwitz. He is the Schnatter Distinguished Professor of Free Enterprise in the Department of Economics at Ball State University. He's also a fellow at the John H. Schnatter Institute for Entrepreneurship and Free Enterprise. He's the author of Hayek's Modern Family, Classical Liberalism, and the Evolution of Social Institutions, and it is a distinguished Fellow at the Foundation for Economic Education and a member of the FEE Faculty Network. Wonderful. Well done there, Stephen Horwitz. Terrific article. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. As usual, you can download us to get us on the go if you'd like to hear us anytime you like. You can get us on iTunes if you're an Apple guy or gal. You can also find us on Stitcher. That's another great podcast app. But honestly, the very best way to get this Freedom Report podcast is right through the Podbean app. Who hosts this show? Podbean, podbean.com. You can download it on any device. You can get it on your Apple device. You can get it on your Android device. You can get it on anything. So download the Podbean app, and that way you'll never miss an episode. You can listen to us on your way to work. Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you so very much for your wonderful support of this podcast. Lots of exciting news coming for you. Keep an eye on the 4th of July. Check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/producerPeterson, and the events page. Click on the events tab, and you'll see we've got some rip-roaring, rock-and-rolling news to share with you. So if you are in the Kansas City area or you can make it to the Midwest, we'd love to have you at the Freedom Ninja Reunion. And there's going to be lots of cool stuff, lots of barbecue. You know, that's what we're famous out here in Kansas City. And you'll see a lot of your famous friends you've seen on Facebook, a few celebritarians, ladies, and of course, the Freedom Ninja himself. Thanks a lot, ladies and gentlemen. Have a terrific week. Folks, as government continues to invade our healthcare marketplace, it's more important than ever to stay healthy. And with hundreds of thousands of success stories as proof, the Paleo Secret team is here to help you lose weight, feel great, and naturally supercharge your energy. They're tackling health issues Big Pharma has failed to treat without the dangerous side effects. And for libertarians who want to avoid the medical establishment, going paleo is the surest path for good health, longevity, and personal freedom. Trust me, I went paleo a while back, and it was the fastest I have lost weight in my entire life. Visit www.thepaleosecret.com/freedom today to try their 30-day challenge risk-free at 50% off.